Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
Well, let's warm up those tires.
Yeah, let's warm up the tires. So we're going to talk a little bit about the SCCA runoffs that happened.
And which were awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then shit popped off in IndyCar, so...
Yeah, the silly season has gotten a little wild this week, so we're going to discuss that.
Shit got wily.
It did.
Some female racer discussion, because it's us.
Of course.
Shit we didn't make up.
Excellent.
And then we'll end with a little bit of history. Just a little bit. Because, you know, why not?
Why not?
It's cool.
Huh? We like to learn things.
We're learning.
All right, so SCCA. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Oh my gosh, so yeah, we had a blast, and then you and your dad went on Sunday.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the two of us went, and it was so much fun.
It was a race. I figure it was a race an hour every day we were there.
It was. Which is, except for lunch.
Yeah.
They did pick an hour lunch every day, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Right, they were like, oh, it's lunchtime.
Okay. Which, I mean, that's actually smart because with as many events as they had, all of the, you know, their race control or what they call their race stewards and mm-hmm. everybody, you know, all the safety people, like, they didn't really get a break had they not had that hour.
Yeah. Santa needed a break.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody saw our social media. But there was quite possibly the oldest safety officer ever working.
I think
he
was.
He had a Santa Claus beard.
Oh, yeah. It was Santa.
It was. So, but yeah, it was legitimately Santa Claus.
It was. Santa was there. It's cool. Santa loves racing.
He does.
Yeah, I mean, everybody does.
Yeah, he was taking a break from checking his list.
Making sure the drivers were naughty and nice.
Yeah, seeing who was naughty and nice. There are some drivers that might get some coal in their stockings this year.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, so they have all kinds of different types of cars.
Yeah. Yeah, so there were all sorts of damn cars there.
All different kinds, which was super fun to watch.
It was, you know, because we typically watch IndyCar, you know, and that type of open wheel. So, you know, there were fucking Ford Fiestas racing. I'm sorry, Ford Fiestas were racing.
Ford Fiestas.
And we both have, like, an equal hatred of Ford Fiestas because of vacation, so.
We do. They are the worst cars to vacation in.
They are. Okay. They are.
They're pretty much the worst.
But there are also some pretty sweet, like, classic cars. And I think we were there for the qualifying, and then it was the last race on Sunday where all the classic pretty cars were on that track. Except for, like, yes. A couple of, like, Yaris's. There's a 2017 Toyota Yaris, and I was like, one of these things is not like the other. Like, you had, like, MG Midgets, you know, which my father was just salivating over, and then, like, 2017 Toyota Yaris's racing.
Oh, what a random vehicle to be out there racing.
I was like, I don't understand, but okay.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And then the different prototype cars, which are all open wheel, but, you know, different makes and models.
Yeah, I really enjoyed some of the prototype cars.
Those things are pretty cool.
They really are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were very cool. And a lot of them looked very similar to, like, Formula, like the Formula cars.
Yeah, kind of like the latter series for Formula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was pretty awesome. And then, can we talk about all the Miatas?
This 72 Mazda, that's my favorite thing to tell somebody. 72 Mazda Miatas were on the track at one time.
And although not for too long.
No. Oh, no. I think they hit road course turn one. I feel like we have to specify which turn one.
Yes, well, yeah. I mean, but yeah, they hit road course turn one, and it was like nobody anticipated that the track was going to narrow. And shit got crazy.
I mean, you could just see this. I think the only word to use is blob of Mazda Miatas. Come down the straightaway, hit turn one, and I would say a third of the field got eliminated at that point.
Oh, easily. Easily a third of the field just started spitting out the grass.
That's probably my favorite race of the weekend, because you just don't expect that.
No, it was like Mario Kart.
But like the off-brand Mario Kart.
Yeah. And like everybody just dumped oil and banana peels everywhere.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that was pretty entertaining to watch. But, oh my gosh, when they were coming out, like, for their rolling start, we were like, they are still coming. Oh my god, how many cars are coming out?
I want to say it was 2 to 3 minutes for the whole pack to clear and the parade lap.
Yeah. It was pretty ridiculous.
Just a continuing parade of Mazda Miatas. And I will never say that again for the rest of my life, I bet.
A parade of Mazda Miatas.
A continuous parade of Mazda Miatas.
When they were qualifying.
Thursday, when the Miatas were qualifying, we learned about what they call bump drifting.
Oh, yeah.
They were following so close that we're like, I think they're touching. Like, they're super close.
Yeah.
And so that they would, you know, catch some good air. And then it turned out that they actually are allowed to touch. That's the bump part of the bump drifting. So sometimes it almost looked like the second car was pushing the one in front of it.
Mm-hmm. That was so...
Yeah, we were like, what is happening on the track right now?
Because you can't take people who really only know IndyCar, and like, we know NASCAR because it's NASCAR, and put them in that environment. Like, NASCAR gets close, don't get me wrong, but those guys were super close.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. That was pretty wild.
But it was great.
It was. Yeah, it was super cool.
I really feel like the track handled that well.
I think so too.
You know, so I'm hopeful they can start to have other events there, other racing events.
Yeah, I am too. I think they can definitely host other types of events.
You know, yeah. Stuff we talked with a bunch of people about this too. So.
Yeah, we did. So I think this was a great weekend to kind of showcase the versatility of our track.
I agree. And I think that's what's going to happen next weekend. Well, not this upcoming weekend, but the weekend after for the air race.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, because we kind of get a bad rap as a track from NASCAR, because we're not a great track for NASCAR.
No.
We just aren't. Yeah. But, I mean, for a super speedway and for road courses,
it's not that bad.
I think we do pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we used to host a whole shit ton of things, but then we lost F1 and we lost motocross or whatever they call the
motorcycles. I think it was motocross, which I would love to see F1 come back, I'll tell you what.
Oh my god, it would be so cool.
I loved when we had F1. And we talked to some people last weekend about that as well. But yeah, I loved when we had F1.
I mean, it's just a whole thing. That's what's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's get that.
I would love to see that. And you made a fun discovery while we were at the track.
Well, I did. So where were we? We were at the mounds at turn 2.
Yep.
And there's a bathroom there, and you know, we're very hydrated people, so we pee a lot. It happens.
We do.
It's cool. I went into the bathroom, sat down, and there was just tons of graffiti in the bathroom stalls. Now, normally in like a public bathroom, it's like, you know, so-and-so loves so-and-so, or for a good time, call this number. Oh no, yes. It was basically all race related. It was like, we love you, Elio, or like, Rossi rules. And I was like, what is this?
Right?
I mean, it was IndyCar, NASCAR, and like somebody was like, I was here for the motocross GP. And I was like, oh, the 1 year we had it. Cool, cool. So I ended up
I think we had it 2 years.
Did we have it 2 years? Okay.
I think so.
Yeah. But came back and took pictures in the bathroom of all of the graffiti, because all of the race related graffiti.
Because it was pretty entertaining.
It was. So I've downloaded that onto my computer, and we're gonna put it on Facebook for now until we figure everything else out, you know, like we keep saying.
Yep. And, we keep making these promises. We really do mean them.
You know, October's suddenly turned into a busy month for us.
It's a very busy month.
Yeah. So we'll get it up on the website once we start the website, but we're going to start an album of race-related bathroom graffiti.
So if you come across any, feel free to share your pictures with us and we will add it to the album.
Yeah, I mean, we'll give you full credit and all of that good stuff, but please share it because it's going to be amazing.
and it's just nonstop entertainment.
It really, like, you just don't expect that in a bathroom stall.
Yeah.
So, pretty fun, pretty fun little discovery there.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. That might have been the unofficial highlight of the weekend.
I mean, it was a great weekend, but yeah, I think that was the highlight, just to find race graffiti.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, now we're going to have to make it a point to go into as many bathrooms as possible.
I know. I was just thinking, like, all right, now we're going to have to go into bathrooms. Not porta potties, like official bathrooms. Obviously.
Official bathrooms, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. We try to avoid the porta potties unless absolutely necessary.
I'm not going
to
open up every porta potty stall. It's not happening.
No.
No.
No, I only use those, like, if it's a true emergency.
Like, if my back teeth are floating, I'm going to have to use a porta potty.
Yeah, and there's nowhere that I can have somebody shield me while I pee outside.
True. True.
Like, I will pee outside first.
Oh, I definitely will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen me do it.
I'm not mad at that. I've done it.
Yeah, I did it in Mid-Ohio.
Yep. I know.
Yep.
Yep.
It was the middle of the night, and I was not walking over to the porta potty.
No. Even, yeah, no.
I was like, if I use my phone as a flashlight, guaranteed I'll drop it in the toilet. I just know that will happen.
Because that's what always happens.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Cannot be trusted.
No.
No. So, all right. Well, on to the silly season.
Oh, my God. Shit popped off.
Shit popped off. So, we're recording on Thursday.
Yeah.
And today, AJ Foyt made an announcement from the Foyt Wine Vault down there on Main Street here at Speedway.
Yeah. You can stop by if you like wine.
Yes. And so the number 14 car is officially going to be driven by Tony Kanaan.
Dun, dun, dun. Which is what everybody has been saying, but we finally got it confirmed.
We did. So. We have an official confirmation on that. Now, they're still going to have the number 4 car.
Yeah.
But it's going to be based out of Texas, and they've not made an announcement as to whether it's going to be Munoz or Daly or somebody else.
I saw, and I don't know who it was from Foyt, but gave a, you know, quote that says there's a short list and Munoz and Daly are on it.
Yeah. I think I had read that as well. Okay. So,
yeah.
I mean, I like both those drivers. Obviously, we love Connor Daly, so I'd love to see him keep driving for Foyt. But
yeah.
I think it's interesting that they're moving the base of that car down to Texas.
Yeah, they're kind of flipping because it used to be the 4 car was here and the 14 car was in Texas.
Yeah.
But I think, and, you know, somebody, you know, check me if I'm wrong, Munoz was in Florida, maybe? Mm-hmm. I feel like Munoz was in Florida. And
yeah,
then,
I don't know.
I don't think Tony's really based in Indy except for the month of May, so.
Yeah. No, because he's got a house down in Florida.
Yeah, he's in Florida. About the whole, I mean, the only reason we know is hurricanes. We're not stalking Tony.
Yeah. Well, no, he posted a picture of flooding going up to his house, and he said that he always wanted beachfront property. And he said, hashtag, thanks, Irma.
He's such a good guy.
Yeah, that made me chuckle. So yeah, but I'll be curious to see if, you know, if Tony moves here or ends up with a second residency or how that's going to work. And I'll be curious to see how that works with the number 4 being based in Texas. I mean, it makes sense. Because AJ Foyt is based in Texas.
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, if you think about it, Andretti is based in Pennsylvania. I mean, their houses are in Pennsylvania, but they've got space here in Indy. So,
yeah.
I don't know if I don't know. I honestly don't know if the location of the car itself changes who drives it.
Yeah. I wouldn't think that it does necessarily.
I mean, I'm trying not to read too much into it.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Yeah, so we are still waiting to see about the number 4 car for Foyt.
I mean, I'm excited to see how Tony and AJ kind of work together. I guess it's more Larry than Tony, but whatever. Or AJ, but still.
Yeah. But still, yeah. I mean, I think that they'll do pretty well. I mean, I feel like with the exception of the Bomarito when Tony was unhappy with Chip Ganassi, I feel like he probably is fairly easy to work with.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm excited for him to keep, you know, to keep on driving.
I am as well.
You know.
I am as well. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're big Tony Kanaan fans, so.
Some of us more than others.
Yes. Some of us more than others. Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
I think it'll be a great match.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do too. And I think whoever is in the number four car, I think it'll be nice to have a seasoned driver in the 14 to kind of help guide them.
I agree.
Yeah.
So that happened.
And let's see, there was a Canadian news article.
Yeah.
That said that Hinch is going to be re-signing with Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports this month, which we're not surprised at.
I'm not surprised at it. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. If he really wanted to move, he should have made the jump sooner. So,
absolutely.
He who hesitates is lost, so sorry. I mean, maybe he didn't want to move.
I mean, very true. I mean, I don't know that he's – I don't feel like he's been unhappy with Schmidt-Peterson.
No, it's going to be interesting, though, now that his engineer has moved, how that's going to play out.
Yeah, that is very interesting. So I'll be curious to see how long of a contract he's signing.
Yeah, yeah.
With all of those other changes with his engineer leaving and other things like that, if maybe he doesn't want to commit to, you know.
Anything more than a year or two. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I would do on a smaller team like that, is give it a year or two and see if you're really moving or, all right, is it enough and cut bait?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I would do the same thing, especially with his engineer leaving. It's like, okay, well, let's feel this out and see what's really going to happen here.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of see how the next season goes.
Yeah. It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. Let's see. And I've made notes, and I don't know if I've transferred them over. So, Elio Castroneves.
Yes.
It's official.
It's official. He will not be running full-time IndyCar anymore.
No. I know 500, I think there's been kind of hints that he'll also do the Indy Grand Prix.
I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't.
I mean, you're already there in May. Might as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely got to run the 500. You got to give him that chance at winning his fourth.
Yeah. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird.
Kind of the end of an era.
Yeah. How do you have an IndyCar race without Elio Castroneves?
Yeah, it's pretty wild, actually.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting not to have him running full time anymore. So I'm glad that we'll still see him at the 500, though.
Right, because he's very popular there, I think.
He is, and even for people that aren't huge Elio fans, I mean, seeing someone win 4 Indy 500s is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's one of those things you just won't ever see again.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you might, but it's tough. Not that likely.
Huh, my goodness. But
Your boy Stephen Wilson.
I am so excited about that announcement. I was jumping up and down at work.
I bet. So he's going to be running with Andretti, right?
Yeah. So he's going to be running the 500 with Andretti. So he's their fifth car for the 500. So they do the four, and then they do a one-off for 500, and that's Stefan this year. Which a lot of people maybe don't know or don't remember that when Fernando came in, it was, I don't want to say like it was Stefan's spot that he took, but that's really what happened. You know, there's a very nice article about how, you know, Michael Andretti and all these people talk with Stefan, and he basically was like, no, I get it. Like, this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So I'm
I would say that was very gracious of him.
He's just a really good guy.
He is.
And I'm excited that they're running the Driven to Save Lives campaign with him again this year for the 500, which means I'll be at the track probably every day now.
Yeah. Which is good, because you wanted to be there every day anyway. Yeah. So
now I have multiple reasons why.
Exactly. They can be like, oh, but I'm volunteering.
Oh, no, but it's for a volunteer thing.
It's not just because I'm obsessed with this race.
Yeah, it's not just because, well, it's the 500.
It's the 500. It's the IMS. And I would rather be here than working.
I mean, hashtag isn't May yet.
Is it May yet?
I mean, all
getting closer.
All of this talk, I'm just getting like more and more excited. I'm like, you need to calm down.
We still have months to go.
There are months, like 5 months to go. You need to calm it down.
Right. But we've got some things to keep us busy. We've got Lights at the Brickyard still coming up.
We got the air race coming up, so that'll be fun too.
Yes, we have the air race, lights at the Brickyard. We got some things to keep us busy.
We do. Oh, speaking of 500s, so did you put this together? With Penske running their guys and then Elio for the 500, guess who doesn't have a 500 seat anymore with Penske?
Oh, JP.
Juan. No, Juan. You know who's not happy? Juan.
Juan is not happy.
I mean, they said that, I think I read somewhere that they'd let him drive if another team gave him a spot, but getting those one-offs is hard.
It is. Well, I don't know that Juan has made a ton of friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened when Penske cut him, was that nobody wanted.
He tried to get another ride, yeah, and couldn't.
Nobody wanted Juan. Oh, God, I'm going straight to hell for that one.
I know. Juan is not so bad. That's what Juan says to himself.
In the mirror, he's like, Juan, you are not so bad.
Juan is not so bad.
Many people like you, Juan.
And gosh darn it, people like you. He needs some Stuart Small in his life.
He does.
So the Petit Le Mans.
It's this weekend.
Is this weekend, and yeah. Juan is going to be racing in that.
Juan, Simon, and Elio are driving for the Penske, because Penske's starting their new, I don't know what, I guess it's their sports car, whatever they're calling it. But they're driving. These three are driving together.
Interesting.
It's a prototype car, which is not like the prototype cars we saw. It's the Le Mans prototypes, or like the weird space car Jetsons looking thing. It looks pretty.
Oh, I bet it does.
I saw it and I was like, oh, well, that's a pretty car.
Right. Yeah, they are very pretty. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan Hunter Ray is also racing.
Yes.
And Bourdais and Dixon.
Yeah, Bourdais and Dixon are both driving. I did not put down, and I forgot, I didn't write it, which team RHR was driving for. But both Bourdais and Dixon will be for the different cars, but the Chip Ganassi Racing Program.
Excellent.
Yeah, so it's going on this weekend. I think, I don't know the schedule. It's weird. It starts on one channel, then it goes to another.
Interesting.
Because it's an endurance race, which we need to have at the IMS, Doug, if you're listening.
We do need to have an endurance race at the IMS, and you need to have camping.
Yeah.
And you need to have camping for it. Like, camping for the people, not just glamping.
No. The people's camping.
The people's camping.
But think about how cool, like, 12 hours at the Brickyard, or even a 24-hour at the Brickyard sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds almost as prestigious as Le Mans, in my opinion. And I know, well, I don't think we have any listeners in France, but that would get us hate mail. Okay.
It would, but it is pretty prestigious.
It is. I mean, that's what everybody was talking about for the SCCA. All of these drives are like, this is amazing. We're driving on the speedway.
Yeah. I mean, they were all giddy to be there. I mean, that track just...
There's just something magical about it.
It is. It almost just commands respect when you're there.
I mean, when we were there Sunday, so we stayed in Tower Terrace the whole day just because it's easier for us to kind of stay in one spot.
Yeah.
And I had snuck out earlier to grab food because, you know, they only had that one stand open. And so we had our lunch before they took the lunch break, and my father fell asleep because he can sleep anywhere.
Which, full disclosure, I 100% wanted to nap every day we were there, but I knew that you would take a picture of me and that you would Twitter shame me like you did your dad.
And so when
I saw that tweet come across, I was like, this is exactly why I didn't nap, because I knew this bitch would do that to me.
Oh, no, I will Twitter shame sleepers at the track.
You know what? If there's not cars on the track, I feel like I should be allowed to nap.
That's true. Usually it's when there are cars driving, like on Carb J or Quals or something like that.
Yeah, that's usually when because I make fun of my sister. She usually takes a nap at qualifications. Yeah.
To be fair, I will Twitter shame my father any chance I get.
Well, that's also true.
But so he fell asleep. There was nothing going on. Like, the stands emptied, the course emptied, but there was still this, like, beautiful feeling when you sit there. I'm just,
there is
majesty. I mean, majesty is the word.
And it's just, I mean, that track is just magic.
Yes.
It really just is. Yeah, there's just so much history there. It's just super cool.
You just feel it.
You do. And I mean, and like the Indy 500 itself, I mean, the only years that it didn't run were during World War I and World War II.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's one of those places where you just, you know, it's like there's been tradition here for over a century.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
So we need more events there.
We do. Yeah. We do indeed. More tradition.
We need more.
Add to it.
We need more amazing races there.
We do. And speaking of amazing races.
Yeah. How was that segue?
I enjoyed it. Hashtag Team IndyCar.
We're starting this. This is the hashtag everybody needs to use.
Yes.
And so it's not been, they haven't been able to confirm it. And by the way, they won't be able to confirm it until probably after taping because the way all of this stuff works.
Yes.
But I think it's enough to say for sure that, I can't, this is too silly to me, that Alexander Rossi and Connor Daly are participants on The Amazing Race.
Which I think is awesome.
It's great. It can only do good things for the brand.
Oh, I agree. I think it's going to draw some new IndyCar fans. Mm-hmm. Plus, I think both those guys are hilarious in how they interact with one another.
Yeah.
And just in general, I mean, I think that they're going to be fan favorites.
Oh, 100% I agree.
Plus, I'm going to be super disappointed if they don't win since they're both race car drivers.
Well, so here's the deal. I was thinking about it. And full disclosure, I have not ever watched The Amazing Race, but I believe that the premise is you run around solving puzzles and doing weird tasks. Like, right? That's kind of it?
Yeah.
In a nutshell. Yeah. I don't know. Like, they're great race car drivers, but what if there's, like, other weird tasks? Like, can you put together a puzzle or... Please stop barking at the neighbors. You know, like, I'm concerned about those type of competitions that our boys are going to have.
I hear you on that.
Like, that's the... I read... You know, I just read shit on the internet because... Well,
yeah.
That's what I do.
And naturally.
So, found out from, I think, a post he did about family. So, Rossi's homeschooled.
Really?
Yeah. And this is going to sound, I'm going to sound like bougie when I say this, but Connor only has a high school diploma. So.
Yeah, but. Yeah.
I mean, they're smart guys, don't get me wrong, but.
Yeah.
But
it's true. There might be some tasks that they're not that great. Although, you know, I'd be curious to see how many amazing race winners, like what their level of education was, if that really makes much of a difference, or if it's more like common sense and just general problem solving.
And that might be it. I say this with full disclosure that I have never seen The Amazing Race. Except maybe like catching parts of it because it was on before something else.
Yeah, that's kind of mine as well. It's like I've caught bits and pieces that I've never really sat down and watched it. But of course, we'll have to this year.
Yeah, it's CBS, right?
I think so.
Okay. Are they in the ones who were in the fight with somebody?
No, that's NBC.
Never mind. Well, then my parents can record it for me.
Yeah, no, that's WTHR.
All right. I don't know. Yeah. I don't have cable, guys.
Right. So yeah, Team IndyCar, we'll definitely be rooting for them.
Oh, my God, yes. I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun.
I think it is, which it would make sense if this happened because Connor Daly announced earlier last week that he was getting off of social media for a month. We talked about that briefly.
Yeah.
And so if he's taping for The Amazing Race, that completely makes sense.
I love that we were trying to assign some deeper meaning to it. Like, man, maybe he's going on like a journey. Like he's trying to like figure out what he wants to do. No, he's just going on a reality TV show.
He's going on a reality TV show. Like, no, that's it. That's his break from social media.
I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt, Connor, and I don't know, dude.
Nope. Not it.
That
was not it. Which, no. Speaking of social media, if you don't follow us on social media, you should. We actually now have a Snapchat, is Fast Cars, and then it's FSTGRLS, because Fast Cars, Fast Girls wouldn't fit, but we do now have a Snapchat.
Yeah.
We've got our Twitter, which is Fast Cars in 317. Mm-hmm. We've got our Instagram, @FastCarsFastGirls. Our Facebook page, facebook.com/fastcarsfastgirls, or you can just search Fast Cars Fast Girls in your mm-hmm. Facebook search bar. Mm-hmm. And of course, fastcarsfastgirls.com is our website, which will take you
to our host site,
our Podbean link, so that you can download and listen to us.
And one day, it will have other stuff on there.
Someday it will.
Yeah, we keep saying this.
We have aspirations, but
I mean, maybe after October, when it gets a little colder and things like that.
Yeah, once things slow down a little bit, because it really is quite the busy month for us.
I just did my October calendar, and I was like, son of a gun, this is my only free weekend.
Right? It's, yeah.
Yeah.
October is quite the CF, which it always is for me, because it's my birthday month, and I stay busy celebrating all month, so.
You do.
I do.
I'm not mad at you.
So, all right, so female racer news.
So, not a lot happened. There was the NHRA race that, unfortunately, you know, the women we kind of cheer for did not do as well as they have done on other races.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think in our moment to talk about female races, we have to talk about Danica.
We do. She has retired from NASCAR.
Has she officially?
Well,
I know
I
she.
So.
Well, Stuart Haas?
Yeah.
I don't know. Haas Racing basically let her go.
Okay.
At the end of this season. And so the question is, will she find somebody else to pick her up? But I think the answer to that is pretty negative.
Yeah. I mean, she hasn't done that great in NASCAR, so.
No. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody's kind of accepted this is probably going to be her last season.
Yeah. And yeah, I think you are correct.
I don't know. It's. You know, a lot of people have a lot of negative. I know the IndyCar crowd did not want her coming back.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She seems to have a lot of haters.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to put it.
Yeah, which, I mean, I think part of that is, you know, it's hard to be a female race car driver because I feel like you constantly have to prove yourself. And she also, I mean, was fairly young when she first started
yeah.
and, you know, would probably have a different demeanor about things if she were to race an IndyCar now than she did when she started.
I agree.
But I mean, I think mainly personality issues would be her biggest issue, which is interesting because there's male racers who are total dickwads who have no problem getting rides and sponsorship, but
yeah,
you know. That's kind of the way it goes for us ladies. So yeah, but I mean, she did lots of things that no woman has ever done before.
Yeah.
She led laps in the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah.
And was the first female to ever do that. She qualified highest and finished higher than any other female to ever race in the Indy 500.
Yeah.
She was the first woman ever to lead laps in the Daytona 500. So, you know, whether you love her or hate her, she definitely has accomplished a lot of firsts in her life.
Didn't she? She won an IndyCar race, or did she podium?
No, she did win an IndyCar race.
And this was when was it Brazil or Japan? It was one of the out of the states races.
I can't remember.
I should know this, and I cannot tell you how embarrassed I am.
That's all right. I don't remember either.
We're horrible. The Indy Japan 300. That's it.
Okay.
In 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew I wrote it down.
But yeah, which, I mean, there's lots of speculation as to why she left IndyCar. And, you know, when the news of her possibly, you know, with this being possibly her last season in NASCAR came about, mm-hmm. I started reading some things online and, you know, all these different blog posts and whatever, and people with their different opinions. And so I started looking at, you know, why did she leave IndyCar and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was somebody that had posted an interesting theory and basically said, you know, her last year of IndyCar was 2011, which mm-hmm. was also the year that Dan Weldon died.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so a lot of people wondered if, you know, that's possibly why she left, if it was really hard for her to continue to race IndyCar after watching one of her good friends die in a race.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was awful just for spectators. I can't even imagine, you know, when you knew him personally.
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know, I didn't have any strong feelings one way or the other about Danica as a race car driver, but I think what she did for the sport as far as a female, you can't just overlook it and brush it off, which is my concern that a lot of people do that.
I agree. I think that a lot of people, just because they don't particularly care for her, mm-hmm. you know, discount her accomplishments for women in racing.
Yeah. I mean, I think between her and like, and Pippa, that's where you get a lot of the younger girls who are like, well, this girl's racing, I can do it too, which is what is necessary.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're at a different time than we were, you know, like when Sarah Fisher was racing. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like there were as many younger girls interested in racing and in the sport at that time.
I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Sarah Fisher, I mean, we love Sarah Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge Sarah fan. And so, you know, I think that, you know, she was just kind of racing in the wrong time to really, yeah. you know, get the most out of the fact that she was doing great things as a woman driver.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So, yeah, because she has first two. I mean, she still holds the track record for speed at the Kentucky Motor Speedway.
Yep.
Which, since we don't race Indy cars there anymore, is not going to be working anytime soon.
Although people are talking about trying to go back to Kentucky.
You know, that was a big fan favorite for people. People really liked that track, so
yeah.
I'd enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's close enough for us. Let's go.
It is. I've actually been there before. Not on a track day. I just happened to be down in Kentucky in that area, and I was like, let's drive by. I want to check it out.
Yeah, why not?
Right? I was like, we got time. Let's do it.
Road trip, side trip, you know.
Road trip. Now, so here's, have I told my funny Danica story?
You have not told your funny Danica story.
Okay, so here's my funny Danica story. So when she first started, I was a huge Danica fan, just because she was doing, you know, she was fast, she was a good driver, and I was just really excited about, you know, her potential. And my friend Joe, on the other hand, was not a Danica fan. I don't know why. It could have just been because I was, and he just wanted to be argumentative.
Yeah.
Who knows? But he was not a Danica fan. So I knew this, and we would always, you know, text each other hateful things back and forth when, you know, we would both be at quals, but in different sections. And whenever she'd be on the track, you know, he's like, I hope she stuffs it. I'm like, I hope you stuff it. And then when she would do well, you know, I'd text him and harass him. And so we had this thing going back and forth. So I acquire like an 11 by 14 size poster of Danica.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was pretty, you know, official merchandise kind of stuff. But I got it for free, and I was like, what am I going to do with this? And I was like, I know what I'm going to do with this. And so I got out a Sharpie and I wrote on the poster to Joe, my number one fan. And then I did a heart. And I signed Danica. And then I signed her car number, whatever it was at the time.
Yeah.
And so the next time I went to see Joe, I was like, hey. And it happened when I saw him next. It was after the Indy 500. It was over the summer. And so I went to his house and I was like, hey, I got something for you. And he was like, oh, yeah, what's that? So I show him this. I show him this poster. And I was like, yeah, I had your favorite race car driver sign this poster for you. And so he burst out laughing, you know, because she was definitely not his favorite race car driver. And he's like, how did you get this? And I'm like, man, I live in Speedway. There's race car drivers everywhere throughout the month of May. Like, you can't walk down the street without spitting on one of them.
That's
I was like,
true.
It just, you know, happened organically. Just made up a bullshit story. And so, because it was signed, he hung it up in his kitchen.
Oh, my God.
And it stayed there for 2.5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And until finally, one night we were hanging out, and I was like, I can't believe you saw that poster up. He's like, well, you went to the trouble of getting it signed. And I was like, you want to know a funny secret? And he was like, what's that? And I was like, I signed that fucking poster. He was like, what? I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, and I got you to put up a poster of a driver you hate in your house and look at her every day for 2.5 years.
I feel like you won.
Oh, I definitely won. I definitely did. So that's my funny Danica story. So if I ever give you an autographed anything from a driver,
Google
it might be Google their autograph.
Google their autograph first.
Huh? It might be theirs, it might be mine.
You never know.
You never know. I mean, I'm pretty good at faking signatures.
Well, maybe
it
we don't.
It didn't look like my handwriting on the poster, I'll tell you that.
Maybe we don't say that a lot.
Yeah. You know, maybe we edit that out. I'm just saying, I had a lot of practice from elementary school. Like, shit. Forgot to get my parents to sign this permission slip. That's all right.
I mean, who hasn't?
Right? Yeah. I'll tell you what. What's unfortunate is that I could always do my dad's signature better than my mom's, and then he went and died first. I'm like, damn it. I had his signature down.
I think dad's signatures are a lot easier than mom's signatures.
They are. Well, my dad always just signed J. Meyer, and so it was fewer letters, whereas my mom signs her full name, and she has really pretty handwriting, so and I don't.
Mine. Oh, my God. Dad's signature is like a circle with a line.
Yep.
And then my mother's signature is this very good, like old school script that they do not teach anymore. And I'm like, nope, I can't get that down.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. My mom's is very pretty cursive. And I'm like, yeah, I can't. Like her cursive R's are perfect. And I'm like, I can't do that.
Nope, can't do it. Nope.
Can't pull it off. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my funny Danica story.
I love that.
Love it.
Shit we didn't make up.
This comes from a hilarious screenshot that I found and sent to Molly.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's see. So, I just happened to be looking up random fun facts about the Indy 500 at work the other night because I was bored.
Because that's what we do.
It is. So, in 1913, Jules Goux, G-O-U-X, adds a unique chapter to the pit routine by chugging champagne at each of 6 pit stops. Thus refreshed, he dominates the race in his car, the Hugo. Averaging 75.9 miles an hour. He's the first European winner and the first to go 500 miles without a relief driver. And then the very next bullet point, new rules for 1914. No alcohol consumption while racing.
That's my favorite part. First, I love that they go, like, therefore refreshed.
Right? And he didn't need a relief driver. The first person to ever do that in the 500. He actually won. I mean, I love that it doesn't say, like, he drank champagne. He chugged champagne. Which makes me wonder, like, how much... I mean, considering when you think chug, like, you think chug a bottle. Like, did he finish 6 bottles throughout the race? I mean, that's what I want to know.
So, I kind of did a little digging, because I was like, all right, is this one of those urban legend things? And from what I can gather, it wasn't like a big magnum of champagne, it was one of the smaller bottles.
Sure.
But still.
I love that he would chug champagne and not water.
I know. Well.
That's so French.
It is. I mean, that's basically water to the French back then.
I mean, I would say it still is.
Yeah, probably.
And I mean, catch me in the right mood, and I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so shit we didn't make up, no alcohol consumption while racing. Thanks to a Frenchman in 1913.
What I love is there had to be a rule that said that.
I mean, there's sometimes that I see rules and I'm like, somebody like me is the reason for that rule.
I mean, it would be us.
Yeah. I mean, there's some rules that you're like, there's a story behind that rule. Somebody didn't just pull that out of their ass. Like,
they didn't just something decide. Happened.
Somebody did something and they were like, okay, well, we thought this was common sense, but apparently we have to fucking say it.
It just better not be a no alcohol consumption while watching the race rule.
I mean, I would riot.
I would burn something to the ground. Not the track.
I would burn something to the ground for sure.
Not the track,
I would definitely
Abby.
Set something on fire.
Maybe the administration building.
All 33 windows. No, just kidding. We're not actually making threats.
Just kidding. It's not a threat.
I mean, I might burn something else, like... on the property.
Yeah. Instead of burning bras, just burning beer cans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not our good memorabilia. We're not idiots.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to burn shit that I paid good money for.
No.
I'm not made of money here, okay? I still have student loans. I'm not just trying to throw money away.
Slowly pay off.
But yeah, no alcohol consumptions.
No alcohol. While racing.
Oh, too funny. So, history of open wheel racing.
So, you know, this is part of our off-season things where we're going to kind of just touch on a few things and a few topics. And, well, I thought, let's talk about the history of open wheel racing.
Let's do it.
So, and caveat, and I'll add a caveat again at the end. A lot of the open wheel history is dominated to the two splits in open wheel. We're going to have to cover those in like a couple of podcasts, I think, just because it's so heavy and it's so in depth and it really has a lot of implications even going on to this year.
I agree.
So let's see. In 1902, the American Automobile Association, and if you're like me, yes, that is the AAA card you carry. They were the they're my sponsors, my pit crew. They were the first sponsor sanctioning body in America, and they created a racing board. And the very first race that they sanctioned was actually the Vanderbilt Cup in New York.
Really?
Yeah, in 02. Now, they did the 500, you know, from 1905 to 1955. Of course, there were breaks.
Or you mean
05.
11.
I'm in 1905.
Well, I think they sponsored races.
They sponsored races there at the IMS. Yeah.
But the 500 didn't happen until 1911.
Yeah. Sorry. That's me trying to do shorthand and not make it too long. And then, of course, the breaks with the World Wars. You know, because rationing.
Naturally. Well, and they also, so we talked about, I'm going to get a little off subject here,
that's okay.
But we talked about this past weekend how the IMS is now in the process of turning that property into a fully functioning airport.
Yeah, that started Monday.
Yeah, and so because the pagoda can be used as an air traffic control tower.
Which is so cool.
It's super cool.
Because I secretly wanted to be an air traffic controller.
Oh my gosh. I thought that would be pretty awesome. I mean, just the so many things going on in your head at one time.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That's kind of how I live.
Yeah.
So during the World Wars, they actually used the track as an airfield as well.
Oh, I did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah. So I found that out when I was just, when I was looking up random fun factoids. When they shut it down during the wars, they actually had like things going on inside the track that were for the U.S. military.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. And one of those things is that it was a functional airfield.
Yeah. And it's on its way to becoming a functional airfield right now.
It is.
Yeah.
Getting ready for that big Red Bull air race.
Oh, can't wait. So let's see. So AAA, because that's what I'm going to call them, because that's how I know them.
Yep.
They stopped sanctioning races in 1955, and that followed both the death of Bill Vukovich at the IMS and the 1955 Le Mans disaster.
Yes.
Which I think we've talked about both, maybe not Bill. I know we've talked about the Le Mans disaster before, and we kind of chatted about Le Mans.
Yes.
It was a pretty horrific accident. There's actually, there's video out there of it. You don't see any bad things, but it's kind of a shocking video to watch.
It is. Well, and there were lots of spectators.
Yeah, that was the biggest.
That were killed and injured, and that was...
That's the biggest part with that one, I think.
That was, I think, the big issue and why they stopped sanctioning is that, well, I mean, nobody was surprised when race car drivers would, you know, be killed during a race.
Yeah.
But then when spectators are maimed and killed, it was kind of a different story.
But I do think the Vukovich death was, even today, but it was a pretty bad incident, too.
It absolutely was. Let's see. Yeah, he was actually the defending Indy 500 champion.
Yeah.
And he was the second defending Indy 500 champion to die during the race.
So,
pretty well. He was called the Mad Russian, by the way.
Which is a fantastic name.
It is. It really is. that was a pretty horrific crash as well. Yeah.
So
we ended up with two different sanctioning bodies.
Yep. NASCAR, which, whatever. And USAC.
Yep. United States Auto Club.
Which was formed by Tony Holman.
Tony Holman, which the Holmans bought the track. I don't remember when, but they bought it from Carl Fisher and, yeah. and all of them who started Fisher, Allison, Newby, and Wheeler, who started the IMS.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the history of Tony Holman bought it, and he founded the United States Auto Club, mm-hmm. and then, you know, and then his offspring have had a hand in the IMS ever since. So that's yeah. kind of the history of the Holman Georges.
There's a good book, and I don't have my Kindle next to me, and I've slowly been reading it, which is, I think it might be like The Man Who Saved the Indianapolis 500 or the title, something like that. And it's just basically Holman and how he did all of the transition of buying the track, you know, picking back yeah. the 500 and getting everything redone. So it's a good read.
I'm sure. Well, and he was a fairly successful businessman in other yeah. in other areas. In fact, they own Clabber Girl mm-hmm. Baking powder. There's something else based out of Terre Haute that they own, because I think that they were living in Terre Haute at the time.
Yeah, and that's where Clabber Girl is, or was.
Yeah.
I don't know if
yeah.
it was.
So yeah, I mean, he was a fairly successful businessman anyway, and so...
Yeah.
So yeah, the I mean, you can't deny the track would not be what it is today without the Holmans.
Oh, 100% I would agree with that.
Yeah. So they sanctioned the Indy 500 from 1956 through 1997.
Yeah. And they're still out... They're still sanctioning things today. You know, they do a lot of the midget series, the sprint car series, the off-road champion, which is
yes,
cool. It's called TORC, Torque, and I was like, that's adorable. I love it.
Right.
So they're still out there.
They are.
But, and here's where we like to call things in my family as the troubles.
The troubles.
The troubles. And we're going to just run through it because, you know, it deserves its... own time and own real in-depth kind of discussion.
And we will get into it.
And we will. Maybe, I'm thinking probably not until after the air race.
Yeah, I think after the air race for sure. Then we'll yeah. get deep into the split.
The two splits, really.
Well, yeah. So the first.
Yeah. Is, you want me to get it?
Yeah, you go ahead.
All right. First was USAC and the championship auto racing team in 1978. It was due in part to, so racing... obviously got more and more expensive, but the payout kind of was not keeping track with it. So Penske, Patrick Gurney, and McLaren kind of struck out from USAC and formed the Champion Auto Racing Team, or as you'll hear a lot of people call it, CART. So that's where CART yes. comes from, CART racing.
Yes.
They did have an agreement back in 1980, so the two sides kind of came together for what it was and formed the Championship Racing League in 1980. So that's the first split.
And it was still primarily team owner mm-hmm. run.
Yes.
And that was one of the things that changed with the Indy Racing League.
Yeah.
Because that was the second split is yep. where CART and IRL mm-hmm. split. And I actually read a very interesting article about that just this week from a guy who came on basically to do PR for CART and like kind of try and like prevent this split from happening, but he says he was just there too late, that he wasn't involved in it early enough on, that, you know, things were already far too much in motion. Mm-hmm. And really and they've actually in this article, which I'll find it, they interviewed people from both sides, and everybody, you know, basically said that, you know, everybody had good intentions. You know, nobody wanted to damage the racing or the mm-hmm. sport in any way. You know, everybody had good intentions. They just had different ways that they were, you know, trying to fix problems.
Yeah.
And Tony George at that point was in charge of the IMS, and he really wanted to take, you know, the IndyCar racing in a different way than CART wanted to, and there are a few things that he wasn't going to budge on, and he didn't feel like he was getting anywhere, so he formed his own racing league.
He said, I'm going to take my ball,
and I'm going to go home.
Yep.
Screw you guys.
I'm going home.
So the CART guys all left.
Yep.
And so that is actually what's attributed today,
yeah.
that particular split, as to why NASCAR does so much better mm-hmm. than IndyCar, mm-hmm. because at that time NASCAR was just, you know, in its infancy, really, and yeah. was gaining some viewership, and then we have all this drama with, you know, with open wheel. And so people were like, screw this, I don't need it. I'm just going to watch NASCAR.
Yeah, like, I can get speed somewhere else. You guys just fight.
Yeah, like, you guys are being ridiculous. I don't, yeah. And so, I mean, really, there's a lot of reasons why, you know, why CART ended up having to file bankruptcy. Yeah. And
I mean, whole shit ton of stuff.
A whole shit ton of stuff. But I think bottom line is, whoever had the Indy 500 was going to win that fight.
I mean, yes. Yes.
It is the most notable race in mm-hmm. the series. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that George did that really pissed CART people off is that the first year after the split, because the CART people were still willing to, you know, pay their money and race in the Indy 500.
Yeah.
And he instituted a 25-8 rule, which was the first 25 spots mm-hmm. go to IRL drivers, and the last 8 were the only ones reserved for CART drivers.
Yep.
And so that's like from the book 1001 yeah. Ways to Say Fuck You.
I mean, that's a middle finger, right? That's probably a double middle finger gun right there.
Yeah, that's definitely a double middle finger gun.
Yeah.
So CART stopped racing in the Indy 500. Yeah. And, you know, and that's where we had drivers that weren't necessarily the best drivers win the Indy 500.
Yeah.
Buddy Lazier. But yeah, so I think that Tony George probably knew I think that he probably knew that he was eventually going to win that fight because yeah. he had the Indy 500.
I mean, it's like having the higher ground. It's like having, you know, the cavalry. You're going to win that fight. You just have to wait it out.
Absolutely. And one of the comparisons that was made in this article was, you know, let's say that there was one location for the Super Bowl every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, let's say it was at one particular stadium every single year. And we've got, you know, the AFC and the NFC. And so let's say they split, and let's say it was an AFC stadium. And they said, well, NFC teams can't participate in the Super Bowl here anymore.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, which set of teams is going to do better? Well, whichever teams get to perform at that stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's your big event. You've got fans in other events, but your big event is what's going to dictate who wins.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, IndyCar today.
Well.
2008, CART filed bankruptcy.
Yep.
The IRL bought them out.
Yep. So, finally, 2011, because there's a whole bunch of, like, trademark bullshit, they got to call themselves IndyCar.
They did.
Yep.
They did. And I will say, I mean, CART did kind of get the last laugh when they came back and dominated at the Indy 500.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it kind of, you know, because there was, you know, they probably did. I mean, they did. I won't even mince words. They had the best drivers. They had the best teams.
Yeah.
The only saving grace for IRL was the IMS. And they did ovals as well, you know, so it was that whole, you know, super speedway kind of racing, which we love.
Yeah, you know.
But yeah, but you had, you know, all these great drivers on all these well-established teams were with CART.
Yep.
Because that was that was a body that they had formed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they had to eat a little bit of crow when they came back, but I think that they got the final middle finger when their teams dominated.
I think you're right on that one. So they are IndyCar now. They were IZOD IndyCar, and now they're Verizon IndyCar Series for another year.
And then we shall see.
We'll see what happens, because apparently it's not going to be Verizon anymore.
Is that confirmed that it's not going to be Verizon?
It's not been officially confirmed, but from everything I've read, I think at this point that's what's happening.
Yeah, it seems like it's unofficially official.
Yeah, it's unofficially official. You know, it's not Facebook official yet, but everybody's gossiping about it.
I mean, it's pretty close. Like, the Facebook relationship status is, it's complicated.
It's complicated. Definitely right now, IndyCar and Verizon are, it's complicated.
It's complicated.
It's fine.
Which, I know I sent you this article, and it was like all these hilarious tweets about being single. Yeah. And one of them was, I wish rather than saying it's complicated, people would put, I'm fucking a guy who refuses to call me his boyfriend. Or his girlfriend. Yeah. So, yeah, that's their relationship right now.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
They're seeing what else is out there, really.
They are. They're playing the field a little bit.
A little bit. It's fine. So that's a brief history of open wheel racing here in the States. And, you know, as we kind of touched on, really the two big splits are, I mean, that's an episode each.
Yeah.
Just because it was a big deal.
It is, and we will definitely get into that.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we could do that like around Valentine's Day. Talk about the big breakups.
Oh my God, I love that. And that's right before. Yeah. It's right before. Oh, the season doesn't pick up yet. So yeah, that's a great idea. Stay tuned,
so that'll
guys.
Be our Valentine's Day. So if you think you had a bad breakup,
we're gonna tell you about two breakups that really hurt.
That really, really hurt. In fact, sometimes they still cry.
I mean, and sometimes IRL fans will drag CART fans through the mud.
I mean, I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, no, I am too.
Yeah, no, I love to give CART fans shit.
Yeah. Who won that fight?
Right, I'm like, oh, but who's still in existence?
But who's still in existence? I win. Like, how do you come back to that one? You don't.
Right. Well, we also saw an interesting article on beyondtheflag.com.
Mm-hmm. The postseason driver grades.
Yes, which...
I don't know. It was an interesting read. Did we retweet it? Did we post it?
I think we did.
I'm sure we did. It was... I don't know how I feel about the article. I just kind of put it there as something.
I mean, I think that it was pretty biased.
There was a little bit of a bias.
Yeah, there was definitely a bias. J.R. Hildebrand got a D.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't know that I necessarily disagree with. I mean, I feel like he did a little bit better than a D, but yeah. Hinchcliffe, they gave him a C.
I mean, to be fair, it wasn't the greatest season for him.
It was not. It was not. Graham Rahal got an A-.
Yeah, he had a good season.
What's interesting is that, like, he got an A-, even though he didn't do that great earlier in the season.
Yeah, Detroit was his big kind of swing around.
Yeah. Sebastian Bourdais got a B, which, in actuality, he should get an incomplete.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not a good driver. He should get an incomplete.
Yeah.
Yeah, both the AJ Foyt drivers, Munoz and Daly, they gave them Ds, which, I mean, I'm not saying they should get A's, but I feel like Connor Daly had a great last half of his season.
He really swung around. I mean, Munoz didn't do too bad either.
No, I'd give them both at least C's.
Yeah, I think so.
Chip Ganassi, Charlie Kimball got a D-. I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that at all.
No.
Tony Kanaan, they gave a C-. Which, I mean, he didn't have a fabulous season.
He didn't.
C-minus seems a little harsh. Max Chilton.
This is BS.
It's total BS. And because he led the most laps at this year's Indy 500, mm-hmm. and they gave him a C because of tensions between him and Chip Ganassi. Like, I didn't realize we were rating personality. I didn't realize there was a talent portion and a swimsuit part of this competition.
I mean, let's go, but...
But yeah, I was like, oh, we're rating on whether or not you have tensions? Like, it's racing. Of course there's going to be tensions.
It's a high-emotion sport, no matter what people try and say. Like, your life is on the line. Of course your emotion's going to be running high.
You could die literally every time you go out to race.
Yes. Even in practice.
Yeah, even in practice. It's happened many times before.
Yeah.
It's happened at testing. It's happened at practice. Yeah. Let's see. Dixon got an A-. Which, I mean, I'll allow that. I mean, he did finish third in the standings.
Yeah.
Mark Andretti got a C.
I feel like that's a little kind.
I feel like that's a little kind as well. I'd probably given him a D or at least a C-.
Yeah. And I'm saying this, like, without emotion towards drivers. I think a C is a little kind for Marco.
I mean... He had like two races this year that he did okay at.
Yeah.
I mean, and what he did, I tweeted about it.
Yeah, but I feel like he had about the same amount of good races that Connor had, and Connor's using shittier equipment in Foyt racing and not with, you know, the Andretti stable O cars.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Sato got a B. It said it's hard to give the Indy 500 champion anything lower than a B. I'd give him lower than a B. I mean, he won the Indy 500, but he really didn't do that well in any other race.
He polled in Detroit.
Well, he polled in another race too, but he just can't finish first.
Yeah.
I mean, he qualifies really well.
He does. He just doesn't race real well, except for the 500.
No, he just really didn't race that well this season. So, See, Ryan Hunter-Reay got a B+. I mean, I think that's a little generous for Ryan Hunter-Reay as well. I mean, I'm a fan of him, but I don't know that I'd go B+.
Yeah.
Rossi got an A-, so I'll agree with that one.
Yeah. I think that's the back half of his season really turned around.
Yeah, it absolutely did.
I mean, if it didn't...
Again, they were kinder to Rossi than they were to anybody else. I feel like they were a little kinder to the Andretti drivers in general.
Yeah, there's a little bit of an Andretti bias. In a good way. And not like this podcast where it's in a bad way.
Yeah. Right? And then the Penske drivers all got A's and A-, which you can't deny.
You can't. Okay. Argument over.
Yeah, they all finished in the top five in the championship. So, yeah. Even if you're biased against them, you really can't deny that they all did extremely well.
It was just their season.
Yeah, it really was. But yeah, I feel like they took some points away for stupid shit and kind of let Marco slide. And I was like, I don't necessarily agree with these grades.
My favorite is that I was reading this in the middle of hearings. And we were just texting back and forth. Well, I think we got a white flag this race.
I think so.
What do you got? Anything else?
I don't think so. I'm just real excited for the air race. Fun fact about the air race. Is that the blow-up pylons have different zippered sections. So if a plane wing hits one of them and slices it, it obviously deflates, but they just replace the section and they get it back up.
Which?
In under a minute.
Can we just talk about how scary the phrase, if a wing hits it and slices it, like, it just sounds scary. I get how it works and da-da-da-da-da, but that everybody uses the phrase, a wing will hit it and slice it, and I'm like, I don't like that. I'm not a fan.
I mean, it will, though, those blades. I mean, it's like a knife at that speed.
I know how it works, but still, slice? Come on.
Yeah. I bet it makes a crazy sound, too.
Oh, I wonder if it does.
It does, because all that air in there, when they hit it, I bet it's loud as hell.
Ooh, maybe that'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't our yellow shirt friend, Jerry, say that it was loud and it startled him last year?
I think you're right. I think our yellow shirt friend did say that.
We did, yeah. We made friends with a yellow shirt on our first day at the track last week, so.
I mean, we always make friends with the yellow shirts.
We do. We do. We were the only people in the stands for a while, so Jerry came over and just was hanging out with us because he didn't have anything else to do.
I really thought Jerry was going to let us up in the...
I know. We tried hard to get up into the stand where they wave the flags.
I mean, we didn't ask, so... But...
We hinted.
I mean, there was a hint or two.
Yeah. So, that's all right. I mean, it'll happen for us.
Yeah.
It's on my bucket list of things that I want to do before I die.
Oh, completely. And, by the way, it would only be at the IMS.
Mm.
Like, don't come at me with weak sauce. Like, do you want to do it somewhere else? No, I do not.
No, I do not.
Nope. This is my home track.
Nope. I want to do it here. God, yep. I don't know what I have to do, like, what accomplishments I have to have in life to be able to wave a flag at the Indy 500, but I want on that plan now.
Yeah, I think you have to do something pretty heroic.
I mean, I save lives every day I go into work.
I believe that you do, but I think it has to be, like, over-the-top heroic.
Well...
Not that what you do is not over-the-top.
Not just regular.
Not just regular heroic, which you are.
Well, I guess we'll have to be over-the-top then. Yeah. All right, white flag for you. Anything else?
Well, it's not race-related, but with the passing of Tom Petty, what's your favorite Tom Petty song? What's your go-to Tom Petty song?
Oh, I mean,
so
obviously I love Mary Jane's Last Dance because she grew up tall and she grew up right with the Indiana Boys on the
Indiana
Nights.
I know. Right? It's a hard question.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just love Tom Petty's greatest hits. Like, I could rock out to that album.
I have been.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's a go-to, like, boat.
Mm-hmm.
Boat album, if you're on the water, it's a go-to road trip album. It's a go-to chill album. I mean, yeah.
Hmm.
What about you?
American Girl.
I love that one, too. Yeah.
I mean, that's also one of my go-to karaoke songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But also, yeah, Running Down a Dream is in every single one of my, like, running playlists.
Oh, well, heck yeah.
Yeah, it's a good song. So, that was it. Just with his passing, I was like, well, I'm going to ask this question.
Yeah, little Tom Petty, which I'm surprised we never had Tom Petty at a carb day. He would have been a good artist.
He would have been a good... Oh, man. Damn it.
Damn it.
Damn it!
Should have had him instead of Jane's Addiction.
Oh, my God. The worst carb day ever.
The worst ever.
Oh, well, that's going to start a 40-minute rant, so we better check or flag it.
We better check or flag this. We can get into that next spring. I think that's it. Thanks for listening.